His name was Roger Folletta, and he's with us today. He's been staying with me for a few nights. We've had a good old talk over all of history. But one night he gave me this sermon at the table while I was trying to eat. He gave me a sermon about the case for God's existence. And I said, hey, you should come and share that with us. So he's going to bring us a short sermon. The real message today at the end will be by Beth. But right now, I want you to listen to what Roger had to say. It's all yours, mate. Give him a welcome.
Thanks, Barry, for your warm welcome, and lovely to be here. What a lovely atmosphere you have in the church. There's a lot of friendship here. That's good to see. It doesn't always happen, but when it happens, it's magic.
One family is taking over, obviously.
Anyway, I'll get on with what I was talking about. I was telling Barry, I think if you want evidence that there's a God, you only need to look at yourself. You don't need to look any further than yourself, because you're all walking miracles. We're all a walking miracle. The way that the body functions is amazing. The more any of you study the body, how it works, and over the years I've always read anything I can about it, it's amazing. The human brain, even by itself, is an amazing computer, better than any computer any person can make. The bone structure that keeps us upright most of the time is an amazing structure. All the joints, the way they work, they're magic. They're amazingly designed for the use we put them to. The ears are very good. They've got tiny little bones and they work in amazing ways that no person could invent, and yet there they are. And the body heals itself. You cut yourself, you get a little flow of blood to wash any germs away, then you get a scab which protects it from germs coming in, and then the healing process takes over, and before too long, after a while, you heal back up again as good as gold. Sometimes even better than, stronger than where you were. The muscles work well. If you do some exercise, you'll get a bit sore, but that's just your stretching and tearing the muscles a bit, and so they get stronger. And as you keep on going, getting bigger and bigger weights, they get a little bit sore, but they get stronger and build up. Now the body, that's just the body, the way it works, but actually what you do, you all got a lot of potential when you're born. You can grow up and develop a lot of skills. And I was saying to Barry, if you've got a piece of paper, write out all the skills you have developed over the years, driving a car, learning to swim, riding a bike, playing tennis, and whatever you choose to do, you've got loads and loads of options, more than you could develop in one lifetime. And when you get a job, you develop skills for that job, and they're skills that you've always got once you've done. You play, learn a musical instrument. I've got my little one here, my mouth organ. But if you practice it and get better and better, and you can learn another instrument, another one, or a language, a new language, we're unlimited in our potential. And that's the way we've been made, in the image of God. The Bible says in one of the Psalms, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's really an understatement about what we're like. It's made in the image of God. And I'll just bring my little message to a close now, because I want to say that there's a bit of God in everyone. Even the worst criminal is made in the image of God, and he's still got potential to come to the Lord and find real life. So, and also when it comes to the brain, the mind, you've got the conscious mind, the subconscious. The subconscious is a tremendously amazing thing. The conscious mind is like the tip of the iceberg that you see, but the subconscious mind, and when you're learning all those skills, you're actually training the subconscious mind. You'll see a person rippling away, a concert pianist rippling away on the piano, or these guys on the guitars, and the subconscious mind is doing all the work. They've trained it, and they can actually be talking while they're playing and carrying conversation. I learned to play the organ some years back, and I was at that stage. I had my own music shop, and I got to that stage where I could be playing the organ, feet are doing the bass, this is doing the chords, this is doing the melody, and if I knew the song well, I could be talking to someone, conversing with them, with me. They came up and talked to me, and I'm still playing the song as good as, and only my subconscious is doing all the work. It's amazing, and you've probably experienced that you can do things without having to think. When you get in your car, you don't think, now there's a clutch pedal somewhere here and a brake and the blinker, and just happens almost automatically, doesn't it? So, and coming to the eyes, and I'm going to close in this. The eyes are a beautiful thing. They're a wonderful thing. They can see shapes, and we can see colours. And a lot of animals can't see. They can only see in black and white. And that's much better than not seeing at all. If you were totally blind, you'd much rather be able to see in black and white. But we have the privilege of seeing in colours. And the same, the Lord, who is amazingly creative and has made us wonderfully and fearfully, has made all the colours around us. The colours of the rainbow, the colours of the birds, the colours of the fish, all sorts of beautiful colours, flowers on Mother's Day. It's amazing how many colours we have. And the little song I want to play on this one is It's a Wonderful World. It's a wonderful world because we've got a wonderful God who's made it all, and he's responsible. Nothing can invent itself, by the way. I've never seen anything make itself or invent itself, so evolution's out of the picture for me. But he said, and the theme of the song is that the same God who's made all the colours in the world, beautiful colours for us to really enjoy, and the sunset, has made people with different colour skin. Never despise anyone because of the colour of their skin. Welcome them. They're multicoloured. You've got red skins, yellow skins, brown skins, black skins, white skins. They're all beautifully coloured, and never ever differentiate. But welcome them all as your special friend and make friends of them. And also babies. Little babies that are that small. Some people think, oh, they're only babies. Get rid of them. Little ankle biters. Push them out of the way. But they're very special people because they've got a lot of potential and they'll grow up and learn a lot of things. This song brings them all together. So I'll see if I can blow this and play it for you. Words go, I see, I see trees of green, red roses too, I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day and the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Sing along with me. The colours of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I see babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger. Last week I said to Joe, hey, find us a solo that fits in with Mother's Day.
It's my privilege to speak this morning because it's Mother's Day. And what a privilege. We've all had mothers, and we all know mothers. And for some of us, we've been one. And for some of us, we're married to one. And we all know the ups and downs, the successes and failures. And for some of us, we know the things we wished we hadn't done or the things we haven't said. When I was young, I thought I would write a book about the successes and recoveries of motherhood. And I would have called that book, These Things Are Normal. There were so many things that weren't what I thought was going to happen. And they seemed to come good. But now that I'm older, I'd write a different titled book. And this book would be The Discoveries That Have Guided Me. When I was quite a young mother, I had by this time two little boys, but I was still pretty young and working out life, I'd come to the conclusion that I was in the wrong job. It just wasn't working. They weren't doing what I said and I wasn't doing what they wanted. And I used to go to a wise old naturopath. Lots of people went to this old wise Mr. Nicholson. And I got there, would have been for a medical reason, but after a while he got out his Bible and he read from me John 15:16. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, I chose you. And I called you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, much fruit." And then he gently explained to me the meaning, the double meaning of appointed. It's called and placed. So Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I chose you, Beth. And I called you and I placed you just where I wanted you to go and to bear fruit, to bear much fruit. And you know, I walked away from that place with a sense of purpose, a sense of calling, that I was just where I needed to be. And that sense of purpose has held me, it's kept me. Yeah, through lots of times of places I didn't want to be and struggled to be. But that sense of knowing that really this is where I was meant to be also was there with me. And then the years passed and the frustration grew again. And this time it was with prayer. Again, it wasn't working. It's almost a repeated story because God wasn't doing what I was telling him to do. And I went to lots of prayer retreats, and in one of the speakers had a list of 26 things that had to be fulfilled before God could answer prayer. There were 26 things that blocked God from answering prayer. That seemed pretty, okay, I could do that. So I went on the self-examination program and cleaned myself up. The results were not much different. God still wasn't doing what I was telling him. And then I went to another conference and another wise old man, a lovely man, Ken Barwick, preached again. And this time he said, "When we pray, something changes." I think we heard that last week. Another wise man made that discovery. And again, the scripture says, Jesus said, "When you pray, go into your secret place and pray to the God who is in secret, and God sees and response. When you pray, go into your secret place. God sees and responds. That doesn't make sense, does it? I wanted him to listen. And from that, I kind of got the understanding that God sees a different picture. God sees the big picture. I'm praying from my spot where I'm placed, but God's seeing a big picture. And God responds from that big picture, with including the promise that all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. So the response was the good one, was for our good. And it was happening because God could see. And that's the position he answered from. Again, that hasn't left me. Some of these things are given to you, aren't they? And they walk with you. And then again, the years passed. And this time I hit a brick wall. Quite literally hit a brick wall. Telegraph pole. I had a car accident. And it did take a long recovery. I did the job well. And I took a long time to recover. And in that recovery, God gave me Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I have called you. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, they won't overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. For I love you, and you are precious in my sight. I've called you by name. You are mine. And further on in that chapter, there was another part that made my mind boggle. Forget the things that are past. I'm making a new way. Even now it's in the bud. Can't you see it? I'm going to provide a path in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Forget the things that are past. How could I forget it? Forget the things that are past. I couldn't do anything. I'm going to make a new way. I'm going to make a new path for you. Even now, it's in the bud. Can't you see it? At that stage, I couldn't even dial a telephone. My head wouldn't work anymore. Forget the things that are past. I'm going to make a new way for you. Can't you see it? Even now, it's in the bud. There are going to be paths in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Can you imagine what that was doing for me? Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious and honoured in my sight. He was speaking to us. And in that passage, there's this part that I think is just for mothers of faith. And that passage says, and I think I'm going to read it just to get it right. Don't know if I can find it. I think I'm going to have to just remember it. And God says, I will bring your children. I think the mothers of faith, they want their children in the faith. You know, it's something we just long for, that they know the joys of the way. And it says, don't you know, I will bring your children from afar. I will bring them from the east and the west. I will bring your sons from the south and your daughters from away off. And I think that's what mothers want. He says, they too are mine. I have called them by name. I think that part is just for mothers of faith. But then as now I've come to the stage where I'm much older, And so now I would actually add some extra things in this book of discoveries. And I think the first one is that old people are very important. Yeah, the government doesn't tell us that. I think especially old people of faith are very important. We're living witnesses to the faithfulness of God. We actually don't have to talk it because we're living it. And it's God's faithfulness. That is there. We don't have to argue with anyone who doesn't agree because we just know that God is with us. And that's the next thing. God has promised that verse that Barry read, that he is saying to us, this is the way, walk ye in it. You know, the same promise is given to us as it was given to the Israelites. The Israelites were told when they were in the desert for 40 years that they would know the way because by night there'd be a pillar of flame and by day there'd be a cloud that would go before them and they would know the way. This is the way, walk ye in it. And then he says later on to us and through Isaiah, whether you go to the left or the right, you will hear my voice behind you. And I will be saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Whether you turn to the left or the right, Bev, that was amazing that you used that verse. There will be a voice behind you and it will be saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now, we all hear the voice of God differently. Some of us hear it in pictures. But we sing that song, don't we? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to hear you. And that's how we hear that voice. And I think this is where old people, when we look back, we can say, oh, yeah, that's what I did. Oh, yeah, I went that way. Or I got to that block and I really did not know where to go. I can remember after I'd been rejected from my second or third lot of counselling studies, you know, I'd sort of completed and then been failed. I was sitting in the car crying, thinking there would be no way to go. And then there came a time that I was offered a job, and because I'd been rejected so often, I didn't hear that I'd been offered. But it was God all the time, just pushing me forward into just the right way for me. And then we walk that way because we know we have the promise that Jesus said, fear not, I am with you. So many of his promises start with fear not. Fear not, I am with you. I'm with you surely until the end of the earth, until the very end. And when you've walked with somebody to the end, you can see it, you can know it, can't you? That God is there. We have had this knowledge that we are called, we are placed, we are answered when we call, we are shown the way, and we are accompanied. And now I want to just finish with a tribute to my mother. When my mother got to the end of her life, she used to have a scripture that she was saying, and she was, it was this: I was young, but now I am old. But never have I seen the righteous. What's that word? Well, this will do. The righteous forgotten, or their children begging bread. I'll say that again. I was young, now I am old, but never have I seen the righteous abandoned, or their children begging bread. A promise that in our older days we can walk with.